Hebrews chapter 7, I'm going to read two verses, not in exposition, but just to announce the topic tonight. And we have been in these last few weeks preaching about being committed church members, fulfilling those responsibilities. And I've said tongue in cheek a few times, I almost hate to preach about some things because it seems like it makes it worse instead of better. Have you ever noticed that? And I'm kind of joking with folks. Preach on faithfulness and the next service. Where's it at, you know? But anyway, Hebrews chapter 7. I really don't hate to preach it. That was tongue in cheek. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Notice in verse 2, to this figure, this prefigurement, this symbol of Christ himself, Melchizedek, king of Salem, Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, other places in Scripture, in fact, in the original relating of this story in Genesis, the word tithe is used. And so you may say, well, in Old Testament story of Abraham, it says tithe. Here in the New Testament, it says tenth. Which is it? The truth of the matter is they're the same word. Tithe is just an older rendition of the word tenth. They used to, many, many centuries ago, they would say tithe instead of tenth. And so it's the same thing. I want to preach tonight on talking about the tenth. We're just going to have a talk about the tenth. Is that all right? Just talk about the tenth. Amen. That way you're not being preached at. We're just talking. Okay? We're just talking. Talking about the tenth. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I'm so glad as I preach this, I can look back and see Brother Norvell. When we went through that trying time a few weeks ago, and it looked very probable that we were going to lose Brother Norvell, there at the hospital, Sister Norvell, one of the things I kept thinking of is how so many times, Sunday morning, fourth Sunday morning, Sunday night, Brother Norvell would shake my hand and say, Pastor, what are you going to preach about? Tithes and offerings? And I thought, we're about to lose him, and if he only knew, I was about to preach on it. I'm so glad you're here. Not because I'm preaching on it, but because you're here. Look what God hath wrought. But not preach. I messed up. We're talking about the tenth. You know, it's difficult to talk about the tenth because when you talk about people's money, it's a touchy subject. If you don't believe that, lean up to the person in front of you and say, now how much do you make at work? Go ahead and try that if you don't believe it's touchy. Or you could try something else. Lean over to your neighbor and say, how much did you put in the offering tonight? How many would agree it's a touchy subject? You know, I think that's the very reason it needs to be addressed. The reason it's touchy is because money, giving or not giving, is such an integral part of who we are. It's touchy because it's so intertwined with the deepest core of our being, money. It determines so much about us. Let me tell you how involved money is in our life. And of course, I teach the young married couples, and we talk about this all the time. We're fixing to talk about financial freedom. But the number one cause of conflict in marriage is over money. I'm not trying to start something on the way home, but it's the truth. And the reason it is because it is so intertwined with the inner workings of our heart and our mind and who we are. I'd hate to remind you of this, but tax time is right around the corner. That'll kill the service. That'll kill the party. The reminder of tax time. How many pays income tax? That wasn't a trick question. I'm not reporting this or anything. That was for the sake of illustration. Did you know one of the things, especially if you itemize, tax time reveals how much you actually give. You know, it doesn't take much figuring to look at that itemization on charitable gifts and figure what percentage of your income that is. You say, how do you figure a tenth? Well, it's really kind of easy. You know, you round up and then you take off the last zero. So you got 100, you take off the last zero and that's 10. You got 10, you take off the last zero, that's 1. And, you know, we used to have to really be good at math because when I was young, the allowance might be a quarter. You had to figure a tenth of a quarter. That got a little sticky dividing that one penny, you know. It kind of dates a fella, doesn't it? Now, before we talk very much more about the tenth, let me tell you something. As pastor, I do not know in this church, I do not know who tithes and who doesn't. I don't know that. The only time, the only person who knows that are those that record it for receipt purposes, for income tax purposes. The only time I even ask whether someone tithes or not is when, as pastor, I'm about to put somebody in a leadership position. And then I go to the deacons and I ask because I really need to know that before someone is put in a leadership position. Thus, you can know this tonight. If a person doesn't tithe, I'm not gunning for you because I don't know who you are. Right? See, if I don't know who tithes, I'm not gunning for anybody because I don't know who you are. I do know that God knows. One of the joys of pastoring is when people tell on themselves. That's so enjoyable. I'll get through preaching and I'll be shaking hands after church and somebody will shake my hand and say, Pastor, you just preached that because you knew I did such and such. Or I'll look at him and say, oh, I didn't know it. See, but that's the way God works. He knows how to talk to our hearts, doesn't he? He knows how to take the word and customize it and speak right to us. There are anomalies, but you know, though I don't know who tithes and who doesn't, did you know generally these two things go together? Last Sunday night's message, did you know generally a person who is very faithful in attendance is also a person who is faithful to tithe and to give, and vice versa? They seem to go together. I'm really concerned in the church world because there's this huge growing push in the church against the necessity of Christians paying tithes. And let me just in short tell you how the argument goes. Well, God's commandment to tithe is in the Old Testament, in the law given to Israel. And Christians are a part of the new covenant. Christians are governed by the New Testament. And there's not a New Testament command to tithe. And so since tithing was a part of the law and the law's passed away, believers don't need to tithe. You know, they almost share this argument. They almost teach this in a way that, number one, it rings that tithing's bad and God doesn't want you to give. I mean, that's the way they present this argument. Another ring to that is almost of relief. Because if people can believe that little argument I just gave you, that kind of absolves them. It relieves them of the responsibility to give to the Lord. And I don't think either one of those is a right attitude about this. I mean, just think, even if it is not a command, do you think God would try to get people not to give to him? You know, let me say this, though. There is one thing we got to get clear. And one thing folks that are against paying tithes do have right. Tithing doesn't save anybody. And I say that, and I present that caution, because I've known folks that were not born again and somehow thought they were going to be able to get into heaven, have the favor of God, simply because they paid tithe. I've known folks that are horrible sinners even, that thought that somehow their sins were going to be overlooked because they still paid a tithe to the church. Now, if you're not living right, you're doing it for the wrong, go ahead and give it. We have a don't ask, don't tell, you know. Just, that's for God to sort out. See, this argument that that's the Old Testament, it raises some questions. It raises a question, has the law passed away? And we went into that on a Wednesday night. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. It raises another question. Is there no New Testament encouragement to pay tithes? Is it nowhere in the New Testament? It raises another question. Was tithing just a part of the law given to Israel, and that's all that it is? Now, I'm only going to attempt briefly to answer the last of those questions, because I believe the answer to the last one will answer the other two. Was tithing just a part of the law given to Israel? And I want to tell you, the answer simply and without mistake, the answer is no. And let me tell you why. Tithing began to happen before the law. Tithing began to take place before Israel was a nation. Let's look. We read the New Testament referenced it, but let's look in Genesis 14. Abraham, the father of faith. Here's how it originally told the story. Now, I just want to give you brief context for this. The enemy had come and stolen Abraham's nephew Lot, taken Lot, his family, his animals, and Abraham got his servants together and pursued the enemy, destroyed the enemy, set Lot free, took all the spoils from the invaders, and now he's on the way back to his home, and there he meets this fellow, verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, and the king of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Do you see what the context is? The context is the context of worship. That's what's going on there. God is being blessed. God is being thanked. And in that context of worship, Abraham willingly, voluntarily gives a tenth of everything as an act of worship. So this idea that tithing was just a part of the law given to Israel is erroneous. Tithing began before the law, and it wasn't necessarily a law. It was an act of worship and honoring of God. That puts it in a whole new context. Amen. God had given victory. God had given goods into Abraham's hands. And now as an acknowledgement of the goodness of God, Abraham takes a tenth of all of that and returns it to the Lord. Now let me give you another little cultural, historical thing. Even before Abraham, even in pagan cultures, it was an understood thing to worship your God, to honor your God. You gave your God a tenth. Now, even though that was in idolatry, I have a feeling that that went back before idols, when all people worshiped the one true God, and they had been giving the one true God a tenth of everything in worship, and now they're worshiping a false god, but that idea of worship has stuck even in their pagan worship, that when you want to show obeisance, you want to show honor to your God, you do so. One of the ways of doing so is presenting a tenth to your God. You see, of the modern arguments against against tithing, they will say, well, you know, this example of Abraham tithing doesn't work. You shouldn't take this example of Abraham's tithing because God never told Abraham to tithe in Scripture. Look at the record of Scripture. They'll say, well, we can't take this example of Abraham tithing because we can't read in Scripture where God told Abraham to tithe. But I want to tell you something. Neither can you find in Scripture where God told Abraham not to tithe. And when the representative of God, Melchizedek, when Abraham begins to give him that tithe, Melchizedek didn't refuse it, but accepted it in the name of the Lord. He accepted that tithe as an act of worship. But this thing about it not Abraham not having a law to tithe, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if I gave it to you, brother, but Genesis 26:5, God said, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, kept my commandments, kept my statutes and my laws. We don't know. Now, this is before the law we have in our Scripture, but evidently Abraham knew what God's laws and commandments and statutes were, and he kept them. And so a very good explanation of why Abraham tithed is because he knew it was one of the statutes of the Lord. It was something that pleased the Lord. And it's not just Abraham before the law, because this example was set. And remember when Jacob was in the wilderness with a pillar for a stone? Didn't we sing about that tonight? I would not be denied. Do you remember when he saw the vision of the ladder that reached from earth to heaven and God above and angels ascending, descending? He said, surely the Lord was in this place. I knew it not. As an act of worship and surrender, when that was all through, God said, I'm going to bless you, Jacob. And Jacob said, Lord, if you do that blessing, what I'm going to do is I'm going to return a tenth of it to you. So there's Jacob tithing before the law. Now, I want to make clear in these next verses something. Let's go ahead and look at them. Proverbs 3:9 and 3:10. Because I'm going to finish up right here. To tithe is to honor God for and with your finances. That's what a tithe is. It's to honor God for and with your finances. Look what the proverb says. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Why? Listen, when you honor the Lord with your substance. That is a direct reference to the tithe. The tithe was honoring the Lord with the person's substance. And he said, because of that, your barns will be filled with plenty. Now, I want to make very clear here. Your barns be filled with plenty. That is a result of tithing, not a reason to tithe. See the difference? It's a result of tithing. And I don't have to pay Andrew for this because I paid him last time I told it. But when he was really young, or younger, I should say, we tried to teach our kids to give not only tithe but into mission services. And so at the time he got $5 allowance a week. I mean, he had chores that came with that. He had $5 a week. And we had a missionary coming that night, and Andrew began to think about what to give. We used to tell our kids, you know, missionaries coming tonight, think about what you want to give. And he felt led to give $5 in the offering. And, you know, this is one of the things we covered, you know, honor the Lord with thy increase and with thy substance, and your barns will be filled, and God can give and give back. And he heard me tell stories about how we'd given when we really didn't have it and how God had blessed. But he gave that $5. That was on Sunday night. Well, the missionary stayed around a day or two, but right before the missionary left, right out there at the parsonage, he called Andrew over, and he gave Andrew a $20 bill. And Andrew came in the house waving that and said, it works. It works. It works. You don't give so God can bless your socks off. They've got that twisted in the modern church world. But it is a result of it. You see, our motive isn't to have our barns filled. Did you catch that in the proverb? The motive isn't to have the barns filled. The motive is to honor the Lord. How many knows he deserves our honor? It's a form of worship. Let me tell you how tithing honors God. I'm going to do this rapidly. First of all, tithing expresses gratitude to God. It really does. Tithing expresses gratitude to God. The tithe is a sign that you recognize everything you have has come from the Lord. How did James put it? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Help me realize every good thing in our life, material, every blessing, has come from his hand. Great is thy faithfulness. All I have need of. Whose hand? Thy hand provideth. So tithing is an expression of gratitude to God. That's how it honors God. How does tithing honor God? Secondly, it enunciates ownership by God. You see, if everything we have comes from God, I recognize something else. What I have, I really am not the owner of it. I am a steward of it. God has given me what I have. That's why we will give an account someday of every dollar that's passed through our hand. Isn't that kind of frightening? Amen? I remember when this, well, I won't even tell that story. I'll go on. But everything that we have has been entrusted to us for us to be a good steward, for us to take care of it. And so we honor God because with our tithe, when we give that tenth, we're actually saying, God, I realize everything I have is yours. Let me tell you how we honor the Lord with the tithe. Thirdly, it establishes priority in one's finances in life. When you tithe, it establishes a priority. Now, let me tell you this. This isn't spiritual. This isn't biblical or anything. I just think it's a good thing. I was taught this as a child. The first check I have always written is the tithing check. And let me tell you why. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, I honor God with my tithe because it shows that he is the priority of my life. And by the way, being tax times, isn't it horrible that our government gets about 3 or 4 times more than God gets? A lot of people want to make government God. Well, look how much government asks for, right? But when you give that tenth, it's saying, God, I want to keep you first in my life. Let me tell you how you honor God with your tithe. What does it do? It enforces financial discipline in one's finances. Did you know if you tithe, you'll be forced to budget? If the money's going to be there to tithe, you've had to budget. You've had to balance. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't think it brings any glory for God for people to live in financial bondage. It's no glory to God. It's a miserable life to live in financial bondage. Did you know that the statistics are overwhelming of how many people are living in financial? I'm not about to start preaching that prosperity gospel, but I want you to know God does not intend for his people to live in financial bondage. And the reason people live in financial bondage is because we have been taught to impulsively spend. Buy now, pay later, you know, run every credit card up. And the reason we have so little financial discipline is because we are not honoring God. The people are not honoring God with their finances. But see, when you tithe, you have to think about the money that you have. And if you really are a consistent tither, you will become a budgeter. It brings financial discipline to all of your life. And I believe it honors God when we're not living in financial bondage, but we're living in financial freedom. God wants his people to be free. Amen. Amen. Did you know It breaks the power of money to tithe. How many knows money can get a hold of you? It really can. And you know, let me tell you two ways. There's a lot of ways, but two ways money can get a hold of you. First of all is this impulsive spending. What a bondage. Most of the time folks are impulsively spending. They're doing so because they got inner emotional problems, and that's a temporary relief to try to spend. It's a horrible one. But that money has power over them. The spending of money. But the other thing about money that has power isn't the spending of the money, but it's being miserly about the money. But tithing breaks both that spending undiscipline, and it breaks also that miserly spirit. You can't really be a miser and give to God. If you have a giving heart, you let God give you a giving heart, you won't be a tight-fisted miser. Money is ruling people's lives, and tithing is one of the ways that breaks the power of it. You cannot be an impulsive spender and stay in a position where you consistently tithe. God knew what he was doing. Tithe brings financial discipline, and God is honored by that. And then let me tell you this, tithing honors God because it expresses faith in God. Tithing expresses faith in God. You know, everybody has their story. Those first get married stories. When we first got married, how many married couples have one of those? What you did without. And when we got married, this is no reflection against the school. It's a faith Bible school. They did the best they could. When we got married, I was making a sum total of $300 a month. And Brother Branham said, you know, you're getting married, you're going to need a little more. And we were making $400 a month. And you take the rent, the utilities, and the groceries, and you don't know how ends are going to meet. But you know what you do? You pay your tithe. And I want you to know, we never were behind paying the bills. God always came through. Amen. God always proved himself faithful. You see, paying tithes honors God because it shows that you're expressing faith in him. God, I'm going to tithe, but you're going to take care of me. You know, somebody says, well, I don't make enough to tithe. I don't have enough money left over to tithe. Has it ever occurred to someone that uses that excuse, I don't make enough to tithe? Has it ever occurred to them that maybe that's why they don't have enough? Believe it or not, there have been folks who says, I make too much to tithe. Let me tell you something. If you really feel like you make too much to tithe, I'll pray with you that God will do something about that. Is that a good deal? Amen. I want to have faith in God. I know it gets tough. I know it can be tight. But tithing honors God because, and you know what? You know what? It's impressed my heart. And listen, we're just talking. I'm not preaching. Notice I'm not yelling. That's generally the difference. Just joking. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, but do you know who are the most faithful tithe payers historically? It's those on a very, very limited income. Very limited pension, very limited Social Security. They are some of the most faithful tithers you've ever seen. And you know what they're doing? They're exercising faith in God. And you know what they would tell you? He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. How many believes we can put our faith in the great, mighty, holy God? Hallelujah. Last of all, tithing honors God because it enables you to invest in God's work. It enables you to invest in eternity. Now, I mentioned several times, you can tell it's on my mind, but it's tax time. Let me ask you, young people, why would you want to grow up? Why would you want to grow up? You realize you're going to spend, after you grow up, you're going to spend the rest of your life paying taxes? Am I the only one that feels this way? Okay. I may have to change the sermon on honesty. How many is just thrilled about tax time? You just enjoy that so much. Nobody will respond to anything. I don't know how many itemize. If you have children, it's probably profitable that you don't itemize. But when three kids left home, wow, you learned to itemize. And you know what? What's the funny thing? Before tax time, when you're writing checks for bills, you're complaining about having to pay out that much. And when you get blessings like bonuses and overtime, that's so thrilling. You're so excited about that. But a strange thing happens at tax time. All of a sudden, you're really happy about the expenditures and the cost. And you're really upset about the bonuses. Why? Because the effect. Let me tell you something about tithing. It's kind of like that, because if you tithe, there may be times it's really hard to write that check. And the enemy may talk to you and you may begrudge that or whatever. But I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to our entrance into eternity, there will not be a begrudging of one little bit that you've ever given in tithes and offerings. You'll be grateful and thankful that you've made that. I'm not talking about earning your salvation. I'm talking about making an investment in eternal things. It's a wonderful, amen, thing to contemplate that we can be in the place that we can make an investment to eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. The tithe is first and foremost a sign that your life is not just about you. You're not living just for you, because you're not just spending your money on you. But the tithe says my life is more than just about me. It's about eternal things. It's about other people. It's about honoring God. I'm a loyal reader to Reader's Digest, even though they ruined it in about 2007 by taking a new tact, a new tone. But even secular folks say the reason people are so unhappy today is because they're trying to focus on self to be happy. They said the only way to happiness is to live for someone and something other than yourself. And tithing does that. Every time I tithe, it's a reminder to me I'm not living just for me and mine. I'm living for something bigger, something larger. I'm living for eternity. Amen. I've given you the ways that tithing honors God, expresses gratitude to God. It enunciates ownership of God. It establishes priority in our life and finances. It enforces financial discipline and budgeting to one's finances. It exercises faith in God. It enables us to invest in the eternal work of God. And I like to deal in numbers, and this isn't scientifically. I've done this quickly. I just wanted to show you something here. Again, we're just talking. Amen. But I took my list. I took my list of folks on the church mailing list, and I took this figure. The average household income right now in America is $50,000. You say, well, I'm not there. Well, that is an average, so that's just an average. I culled the list just to folks who basically households, and sometimes those are individuals, sometimes those are family, but households that pretty consistently attend, and there was 90 households left on the list. Well, if the average household income is $50,000, with 90 households, that's $4,500,000. And so the tithes would be $450,000. And I realize that as some of those lists are adult children. They have jobs. They lived at home. Some are retired. Some are living on a very limited income. So I lowered that to 70 households. And at 70 households, that combined income of those households a year is $3,500,000. $500,000, and the tithe off that would be $350,000. And I could cull the list a little more and adjust it. And the actual tithing of last year was right around $216,000. So $350,000, $260,000. But I want to first of all commend folks. That's roughly, and again, I don't have the figures, I don't know who tithes, but just by looking at the figures, that's roughly 60% of folks of Union Pentecostal Church tithe. I don't know who does. I don't know who doesn't. But I think that's very commendable. Let me tell you why I think it's commendable. Did you know for evangelicals that the average amount an average evangelical gives is 4%? 4%. And of all Christians in America, the average amount that they give is 2.5%. And yet right here, 60% are giving at least 10%, and much more when you include missionary offerings and all the extra you do for our outreaches and all the money that takes to fix meals for funerals and dinners and just all the ways that you give and you give and you give and you give. And so I want to say I so much am appreciative of this church and all that you give and all that you do. And I started to break it down where all that went. You know, you take care of your pastor and his family. And you take care of our other staff, our youth pastor, and our children ministries coordinator. And I want to remind you again that 10% of everything that comes in, our income, 10% of that goes to the mission field. We support our missionaries. And maybe this is a rough figure, but utilities take about 15 to 20% of that. And just fuel and incidentals to take care of things through the month of ministries, that's about 17%. And then we have maintenance, and then we have miscellaneous. And being up north, we have snow removal. What was it, $500-something just last month? And all these things. But did you notice the majority of those things are ministries? They're doing something for eternity. And I want to commend you for giving that tithe and never to look at it just as a duty or a fulfillment of a commandment, but to forever look at tithing is the way that we honor God and give praise to Him and give thanks to Him and worship Him. As a rule, people who tithe always give far more than the tithe, and people who do not tithe always give far less. As a rule, that's true. People who tithe give far more than a tithe, and people who do not tithe always give far less. Tithing is honoring God. Amen. I forgot the details. I tried to tell the new members class, but remind me of the fella got saved, and the pastor was going to baptize him. Came all the way down that night till the pastor was in the water. And the fella had went down the steps and got in the water. And the pastor started to say his piece. And the man said, "Wait a minute, I'll be right back." And he went back to where he was changing, where his street clothes were. And he went back there. And he came back out holding his wallet. Mine's so fat with money, I can't get it out. It works. This is embarrassing. I should have practiced. He came out from the back holding his wallet. He said, "Pastor, when you put me under, I want my wallet to go under too." He wanted his wallet baptized. Well, he understood something. To live for God, amen, if we can get victory over the wallet, the pocketbook, if we've given that to God, then our lives truly belong to Him. We are truly honoring Him. Music, would you come? Now, I've noticed something through the years, and we've just had a talk. I'm going to tell you what I've noticed. People who do not tithe, people who have not tithe, are not just going to hear a simple sermon on tithing and at that moment say, "Okay, I need to do that. I need to start tithing." There was a time I probably believed that. I don't want to let you in on too many of the things about preachers, but you're a young preacher, you think, "I'll preach this one sermon, it'll change everything." Kind of like parents, you know, you think you covered it once, it's done. But I've realized something. If somebody does not tithe, have not tithed, they're not just going to hear a sermon and decide, "Well, I'll just start doing it. I'll write a check." It doesn't work that way. I have come to understand that if somebody begins to tithe, they not only have to hear a message from it, they not only have to be convinced it's in the Bible, but they have to literally have an experience with God. It actually takes a spiritual experience for them to begin tithe. You know what that shows me? That shows me how integrally spiritual tithing is. If it takes a spiritual experience to begin to tithe, I'm talking about if someone never has, they haven't been trained to, they haven't been taught to, they just decided not to. If they don't tithe, for them to begin to tithe, it literally takes a spiritual experience for them to begin to tithe. An experience with God, a moment with God. Call it sanctification, whatever you want. Yes, folks need to be convinced. It's a biblical principle. Brother Bill put it well the other night. Maybe not a biblical commandment for New Testament Christians, but certainly a biblical principle of a wonderful way to honor God. We need to be convinced of that. But in the end, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you know, that convinces me of something. It's really involved in how I'm going to live life, how I'm going to let God move in my life. And you know, if it's such a spiritual thing, that shows me why from our kids on up, they need to be trained in this way of the Lord, because it's so tied. So how do we look at it? We look at it like Abraham. God has blessed me. I want to honor him. I want to worship him. I want to show my gratitude. And so I will give a tenth to God to show that I honor him and I worship him. Oh, it goes beyond that. We sang it this morning. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Amen. That's not talking about just your pocketbook. Amen. God only wants a tenth of that, but the all is my life, my time, my devotion, my love, and he's worthy of it all. Amen. Let's just stand tonight. Let's begin to honor God right now just with our worship. Could you lift your hearts and your hands and honor the God who has been so merciful, been so kind, been so gracious, been such a blessing. I want to honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My talk is ended. But I pray if you haven't discovered this way of honoring God, I pray that God's talking to you will continue beyond what I've just shared, and after I've closed my Bible, that God will continue to talk. God knows the best way to serve him. God knows the way to set us free. God knows the way our lives should work. And I want to honor. How many wants to honor God with all of your life, your living, all of your being, all that is within you? I want to honor God. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars and say, God, I want to honor you. Amen. The first thing we give him is our life. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, come. Give him your life. Give him your future. Give him your everything. Hallelujah. Would you come and fill these altars? Would you seek him tonight? Hallelujah. I want to honor you, God. I want to honor you, God.